Need more than 20 minutes. Got to have more than 20 minutes to get an hour and a half message out. I'm telling you that right now, huh? Hope your ham's not in the oven burning. Amen. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And the Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it." That's a lie, by the way. God never said he couldn't touch it. "Lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and the singing, and our fellowship time, and those that recently were saved and baptized. Lord, we're thankful for them as well. And we just pray now, it's been spoken already, Lord, that you meet with us in a special way today, that we're aware of your presence, feel your presence here today. You know every need, every heart. Lord, we'll commit the service into your care. Pray that we can just get out of the way. And Lord, that you'll be seen and heard. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message today, I've been thinking about this for quite some time, is The Pursuit of God. The Pursuit of God. Now, depending on where you put your emphasis, that could be the pursuit of God. And I want to use it in both ways. There's the pursuit of God himself as he pursues us. And there's the pursuit of God from our point of view as we pursue God. And I want to look at those two things this morning. And I want you to understand that God pursues us first before we ever think about pursuing him. That'll be one of the main things that I want to talk about. Now, the definition of pursue in the old Webster's there said to follow in order to overtake or overcome, and then also to seek to accomplish a goal. When we look at the chapter that I just read, this chapter here is the beginning of all of our problems. All of man's problems are found right there in just the text I read today. Eve knew exactly, and Adam knew exactly what God said concerning that fruit. They willfully disobeyed God, which was a sin. That's what all sin is, a willful disobedience of God. They willfully disobeyed God. But because of that, sin entered into the world. Sin entered into the world. There was a curse that God placed on the world because of that. And one of those curses is death, and it's a gradual death. It was it was a spiritual separation instantly. They were spiritually separated from God, as illustrated by the fact that suddenly now they wanted to hide from God. In the past, they didn't want to hide from God, but now they wanted to hide from God. Like a lot of people that are living in the world want to live sinful lives. They don't want to get near a church, a Bible, a preacher. They don't want you to talk to them about the Lord or salvation. It's the same thing. And then there's that gradual death. It wasn't an instantaneous physical death. The physical side of things is one of our curses is we start getting old. We start getting white-haired. We start getting creaky bones. We start getting, aging, the aging process. And, actually, and I thought about this when I was getting this together, that the aging process is actually a grace of God. The fact that God over time allows us to gradually die instead of instantly die is a grace of God in the fact that he's given us time. It's the long suffering of God giving us time to repent, turn to him, confess our sins, and be saved, because he got a plan for that too. And so even our old age and achy bones is really a grace from God that he allows us the time to get saved. Amen. That's a good amen point right there. Something to thank God for. So we can thank God in a way for old age. But Well, you know, we see that separation from sin, and we see that Adam and Eve, it says in verse 8 that they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and God called out and said, "Where art thou?" It said, but they had hid themselves, in the bottom of verse 8, from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Now, two points right there, two things. They weren't looking for God. They didn't sin and say, "Hey, I'm going to go find God and tell him all about it." They sinned and they hid from God. And that it was God that came looking for them. It was God that came looking for them. And so I kind of want to hit on that a little bit. Very first, just two main points. Is one is the pursuit of God as He pursues us. The pursuit of God as He pursues us. God takes the initiative. God always takes the initiative in our salvation. Understand that. There's a time when you turn to God, but God has dealt with you somehow through somebody, somewhere along the way, through His Word, somewhere. But He asked this question, and I have it underlined in my Bible. At the very end of verse 9, He says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Now, it wasn't really a geographic question. This is God Almighty. He knew exactly where they were. He knew they were hiding in the bushes somewhere. He knew that. It's a spiritual question, but I want you to know something. It's not that God doesn't know the answer. God knows where you are geographically. And God also knows where you are spiritually. You know, sometimes you ask a rhetorical question to get the person to think about it themselves. He said, "Where are you, Adam?" He knew he was. You know, Adam could have said, "I'm hiding from you, God." And God would have said, "Yeah, I know you're hiding. And why are you hiding? I know why you're hiding, too. I just want you to answer the question." And so here we are. You know, this is a good question I'm going to ask at the end of the message. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you spiritually, really? Where are you in your relationship with God? Are you as close as you think you can ever get to God in this life? Huh? Are you hiding from God? Are you running from God? I mean, you know, everybody's got it. Everybody's heads are going all over the place. Nobody said they are as close as they think they can get to God. God knows. So God knows where we are, you know, where we are spiritually. He knows where we are geographically well. But, you know, here's the thing. God knows where we are spiritually before we know where we are spiritually. That's the problem because, you know, a lot of Christian folks say, "Well, I'm all right. I'm okay." You know, you can go out to people that got all kinds of problems and they could be dying of some kind of disease. You ask them how they are, what are they doing? "I'm all right. I'm all right." And a lot of the world doesn't even know that they are separated from God spiritually because of sin. They don't know that. That's when we go out and talk to people, sometimes you got to get them lost before you can get them saved because you talk to them about salvation. They don't know that they're lost. Have you ever been lost and didn't know it? Have you ever been lost physically and didn't know? Sometimes you think you know where you're going, but you don't know where you're going, right? Well, listen, it happens in a spiritual way as well. Sometimes we can think everything's all right spiritually, but it's not. Now, you know, God made man for Himself. He made us for Himself to fellowship with us. And sin broke that relationship. Sin breaks a lot of relationships. But it broke the relationship with God. We don't have... Before salvation, we don't have a spiritual, a relationship with God. God still loves you. He loves us. He died for us while we were yet sinners. He died for us. But we don't have a relationship with God because of sin. That has to be taken care of. That's what calling on His name and the cross and all that it was about. And I'll talk about that some. But we think about this. Okay, so the relationship was broke. You ever notice in a relationship sometime, if you ever had a relationship go south with somebody, usually there's one person in the relationship that kind of pursues getting that thing back together. Huh? Somebody's got to, you know, either that or everybody, both people are standing over there. I'm right. They were wrong. I'm not, you know. Sometimes even when you're right, you got to be the one to go pursue the relationship. Huh? Sometimes it's even easy. It's even better maybe if you were right to be the one, right? Huh? God was right. God was right. We were wrong. But God pursues that relationship. God wants to heal that. Somebody got to give in, right? Somebody's got to give in. Now a lot of the world's still over there doing this. Huh? But then there's those of us that have called on His name for forgiveness. So why does God? It's real simple. God, because of love. You know, He just loves us. God loves us, man. Isn't that great? That God loves us. So God loves us. You know, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. That just means in the human relationship that it's overlooked. In God's relationship, it was paid for. So either way, it's taken care of. That it just means that he loves us, you know, and he created us there, and God wants this fellowship. Now, I don't know why. I don't know why he wants a relationship with me. I don't know why he wants a relationship with us, with all our faults and all our failures and all our shortcomings and all the problems that we have. That God loves us so? You know, we're not worthy of it, but God just loves us. You ever have something? I remember little kids sometimes. Little kids will get attached to some little piece of junk or some old raggedy looking. I had a little elephant when I was a kid. Dumbo the elephant. It was a gray little elephant, a stuffed animal, you know, and it went around on the end of his trunk. He had a little red ball on there. Dumbo, I had him for years, man. I mean, I had him so long. I was grown up. My mom and dad said he just fell apart finally in the ad. They had him in. But I had Dumbo. Mom and dad got it because I saw that thing in the store. I had a fit. And I normally didn't do it. They said I cried. They was in the car already leaving the parking lot, and I'm up against the glass looking at the shopping center crying my eyes out because I had to have Dumbo. Man, my dad said, man, alive, I ain't never seen it. He went back and got it. And I mean, I kept that thing, man. I played, and it got dirty looking, man. His old trunk wasn't like it ought to be, and tail fell off, and I don't know what all. But, you know, you have that thing, man. You know, you just love it, man. And then you look at it like my mom didn't even want to touch it, man. Get gloves, you know, and like get that thing. You just love it. That's us. See, God loves us like that. We don't know why. We can't understand why a kid likes something like that. And God loves us. Listen, so God pursues us. He pursues us for salvation. Amen. God wants to save us. Sin broke that fellowship with God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And listen, God can't just overlook it. He can't just say, well, don't worry about it, I'll forgive you, because he's so holy that sin had to be paid for. And so he says, listen, and I thought about this. Now, didn't God know that we were going to fail and sin? Yeah, it's all part of God's plan. You ever sit around and wonder why? Because God had to think, what is the greatest way that I can show man that I really love him? What's the greatest way? Because see, we're so prone to take everything for granted. We can say, well, look, boy, we got air to breathe and we got a beautiful day out there right now and the leaves are all green and everything and all this beauty of creation, this and that. But after a while, we'll take it for granted. See, you know how we do? We take people's love for granted. We certainly take God's love for granted. And he said, I've got to do something so drastic, so dramatic that the world will never forget how much I love them. So he said, what I'm going to do, they're going to fall into sin. God knew it. They're going to fall into sin and they're going to have to be redeemed from sin. And I got a plan and I'm going to send my only son to the cross. Hey, would you come up with this one? And my son's going to die on the cross so that you could have eternal life. I'm going to show you how much I love you. You know, how do you show somebody? You know, what do you think about it? In our term, we try to show somebody we love them. What do we do? You know, you're going out on a date or you got your wife, you got your girl. What do we do for our wife? Get her some old raggedy flowers that, you know, are probably going to croak in no time flat, right? You know, we get them some flowers. Oh, look, you know, oh, wow, it's Valentine's Day. Man, I got to send my wife, I'm going to do it. Run down to Walmart. They got them cheesy flowers in the cellophane. I'll get one of those. That'll do. Get a card, open it up. Yeah, it looks good, man. And throw it in there, right? Huh? That really speaks to my heart, man. Or just, you know, how about this one? Let's go. Don't even know what it says. We get, or we buy them a bracelet or we get them a ring. You know, even a ring could be, oh, you know, that thing costs $1,000. That's okay. God gave his son. God gave his son. He said, I'm going to show you how much I love you. Right? Now, you want to show God how much you love him? That's another message there. Huh? There's another message. So, he said he's pursuing us for this. Not only, isn't it sad that God had to give his own son to die on our old rugged cross for our sins? And then to top it all off, he still got to come and run after us to get us and beg us to get saved? I mean, what else can he give us? He's got to beg us to get saved after all that. But he's pursuing us in salvation. Oh, I remember when I got saved, man. I grew up knowing about Jesus. You know, I always believed in Jesus. I wasn't an atheist. I knew that. But I wasn't saved, and I wasn't living like it either. But I was a pretty good. I mean, I wasn't going to steal your purse. Beat you up too much. Those kind of things. But you know what? God, I can look back and the hand of God moving in my life, that God was pursuing me. See, I couldn't see it. Just the way our house came, where we bought our house. We wanted to buy this other house behind her sister's. I'd have been a charismatic if I'd have lived there. I'd have been in Assembly of God Church today, talking in tongues. We wanted to buy that house, and the guy wouldn't sell it to us. It was for sale. Somebody else wanted to buy it, but they'd gone like 2 months. They couldn't get the money. I said, look, man, we can get the money. You know, you've gave the guy enough time. Nah, he wouldn't do it. But we found another house, and right near there was a little independent Baptist church near there. And guess what? Them people came out to visit. Here's God's pursuing hand, right? They came to all the houses up and down the road. They came to my house. And they talked to me about salvation and about the Lord. And I didn't get saved that night. But guess what? God didn't give up. And those people at that church didn't give up. The next Thursday night, they're back at the house again. Come on in, man. I like talking to them about it. I didn't get saved that night. The next Thursday night, that day, I went to the refrigerator. Sherry had wrote on a little card and stuck it on the magnetic thing on the refrigerator. She said, Daniel, I think these people really care about your soul. And I saw that. Head's hard, sunk in just a little bit. That night, Pastor Woodard, and a guy named John Corbin, he used to be the town drunk up in Flint Hill, Virginia, so to speak, moonshiner. They said he'd never get saved. He got saved. They said it won't last, and buddy, it lasted. I'm telling you what, he was a big old man. He was a big man. He was 70 years old, buddy, and I wouldn't have messed with him when I was 29, 30 years. I was 30 years old, man. He had a hand, man. I could put both my hands in his hand. But he was a nice guy. John Corbin was there, and Pastor Woodard was there. It seemed like Jimmy Wilkerson was there. Actually, Jimmy Wilkerson's brother and his wife showed up here one Sunday years ago. They showed up after we built this new park. And Pastor Woodard talked to me about being saved again. And it was the third time. Man, thank God they didn't give up. Thank God God didn't give up. But I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life that time. That time, the third time. God kept pursuing me. And God has a plan. For our life and my life. And you know, I didn't know it at that. When you look at the Bible itself and you look at the Israelites, God kept pursuing them, even though they kept going to idolatry. They kept rejecting God, and they'd go after idols, and they'd after false gods. And God, you know what? God kept sending the prophets. Keep going there. They would kill them. They were killing the prophets, and he kept sending prophets and sending prophets. And they kept rejecting the prophets. And then he had his word. And then we get to the New Testament, and we got the canonized word of God, the Bible itself. And we've got preachers, and we got gospel churches. You know what all that is? That is God pursuing man. God is still pursuing man with that same message, that message of salvation, that message of love. That's what he's trying to do, is to get, let us know. He's still pursuing man. Now listen, he pursues us for service too. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for our life. I didn't know all that. I didn't know this was going to be the plan. I had no idea when I got saved that this was going to be the plan. But you know, when we look at, there's people in the Bible. I remember Samuel. Samuel's just a little boy, and he was his mama gave him dedicated him at the temple, and she gave him over to Eli, the priest. And remember, at night, Samuel was going to be ready to go to bed, and he heard a voice, Samuel, Samuel. God was calling him. He said, "Man, Samuel, Samuel." He said, "I got something for you to do." God was pursuing him. It wasn't Samuel saying, "Hey, I want to be a priest the rest of my life." It was God calling him. A little David. Remember David? He was just a boy. He was a shepherd boy. And they sent, Samuel was a grown man now. Samuel's the one that goes. And he says, listen, he goes to Jesse, David's father, said, listen, one of your sons going to be anointed king. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. This is pretty much what he said. One of your sons going to be anointed king. Let me see them all. He brings them all in there. Nah, not that one, not that one, not that one, not that one. He said, you got any more? Because it's none of these. He said, well, I got this one more, the youngest one. He's out there watching sheep. Bring him in. Bring him in. That's the one. He said, God said, that's the one. David's going. He didn't know it. He didn't know that God had a plan for him to be king. Lead Israel back to God. He didn't know it. The Apostle Paul. Remember the Apostle Paul? He's going down the Emmaus Road. Not the Emmaus Road. Damascus Road. Got the Emmaus Road, guys, too. Damascus Road. He's going down that road and to persecute the church. He thought he was doing something for God. He believed in God, but he was under the old covenant. He didn't know nothing about Jesus. He didn't know that Jesus was really God's son. He didn't know that. And what happened was God pursued him. God met him on the road. Jesus was there, and he said, who art thou? He said, Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He said, what would thou have me to do, Lord? a little bit later wanted somebody to go see him, Barnabas, and he said, I want you to go talk to him. He said, man, I heard about this guy. He said, man, how he said, I don't know about this guy right here. He said, and he said, go see him. He's a chosen vessel unto me. God said that. God said he was a chosen vessel, so he sought him. And then there was, remember old Jonah? I like old Jonah, man. Jonah, God said, Jonah, he said, I want you to go preach to the Ninevites. Now, that was a scary group to preach to. Man, they used to like, their favorite thing to do with the captured prisoners was to flay them to death. That means to be skinned alive. And that's how they would, but he said, I want you to go preach to them, man. They need to be saved too. Jonah said, man, Lord, I don't want to go. How many of you ever said, God said, I want you to do something, and you said, God, I don't want to do it. And you know what Jonah did? He went down and got him a boat ticket. Got a ticket going the other way. Went 1,000 miles to Tarshish. He went 1,000 miles in the other direction. Over 1,000 miles, he thought he was going to run from God. Huh? Old Jonah wasn't too smart. But you know what? Y'all think that's funny? Because you think you can run from God too, huh? Huh? You think you can get up under there under the cover of darkness and God's not going to see what you're doing? And you think you can think something bad or something funny, that something that's not right? And you think God doesn't know what you're thinking? He knows what you're thinking too. You can't run. You can't run off from God. And he tried to get away. And guess what? Jonah said, man, a big storm came up. Where'd that come from? That was God pursuing Jonah. And they said, man, we got to do something about it. And Jonah said, look, just throw me overboard because I'm the problem. Huh? At least he admitted it, right? He said, I'm the problem. Throw me overboard. And he said, I'll get away from God. I'll die. I ain't going down there preaching to Ninevites. Guess what? The Bible says God prepared a great fish, a whale, and swallowed him. The whale swallowed him. You think you get in the belly of a whale, you get away from God, right? Uh-uh. The old whale come up there, puked him up on the shore. 3 days later, he gets old Jonah out. Guess what? Jonah went down there and preached to the Ninevite. Huh? So, listen, you can't. God pursues you, is going to pursue you. And, you know, it's not gonna stop because he's got this plan. And, you know, Jonah, listen, he had some other issues, you know, and I'll tell you about it in a few minutes. But God pursues for salvation. God pursues for service. God pursues us for sanctification. See, a lot of people think this. They say, man, I'm just going to get saved, boy. Whoo, that's it. Man, I'm saved. Get baptized, maybe get my certificate. And that's it. God, I'm done. I'm just going to ride the clock till we get to heaven. That's not it. Listen, now you're just starting. You're at the starting line, not the finish line. And so what happens is God wants to sanctify us. That means that's where he sets us apart to be a people like unto himself. He said he makes us, changes us into the image of Christ. As you know, as we study the word, and I'm going to talk about that tonight somewhat, but we're not done. There's still the pursuit to make us like that. You know, even old Jonah, after all that, he went and preached. Guess what? He got mad because the Ninevites got saved. They had a big revival there. It lasted 125 years. And he went out and sat down out in the sun. He was feeling sorry for himself. He had pride. God had to deal with that pride. He felt sorry for himself. God had to deal with him in that area right there. He got depressed, discouraged. You know, all those things happened. Listen, remember the Emmaus Road disciples on resurrection morning? They didn't know what happened. What did they do? They're going down the road. They left Jerusalem. They're not seeking God. They're not pursuing God. They were discouraged and defeated and depressed because of the crucifixion of Jesus. They didn't know about the resurrection. And they're going down the road. They looking for God? Uh-uh. Where are they going? The Bible said they were going home. They're going to Emmaus. They were going to Emmaus. What were they going to do? They didn't know. Guess who came looking for them? It was God, Jesus, resurrected Jesus, glorified Jesus, God in the flesh. He shows up. He's looking for them. He comes looking for us. Listen, in our sanctity, God is never going to stop chasing you. God is never going to stop following you to sanctify you, to get us to conform to His image. We're not done. God's not. He didn't just chase us down for salvation and then left us alone. No, He's still going to come after us. He's still going to chase us. He's still going to try to get us to be like Him. And that's all done through the Word, the preaching of the Word, and you know, prayer all those type things that would go on. He's going to pursue us even after our salvation, because he wants all of our heart, our mind, and our soul. That's what God wants. Huh? That's it. And that's God's part of it. And then there's our pursuit of God. You know, God's the one that called out to Adam, but Adam had to say, you know, here we are. He had to respond back to God. God takes that initiative. Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." Well, do you know why God is nigh unto all them that call upon them? Because he's right behind them, following them along. And when you turn to call to God, he's right there. He's right there. That he's because he's pursuing us. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, God had promised to scatter the Jews throughout all the nations, and they were going to serve other gods, and they were going to serve these other nations because they had forsaken him and worshiped other gods. And then he said this in Deuteronomy 4:29. He said, "But from thence, from that place you're at," this is a geographic and a spiritual place. He said, "From that place of scattered throughout other nations, and from that spiritual place of worshiping other gods," he said, "thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul." From thence, that geographic, spiritual look. See, it doesn't matter how far away you get from God, because God's still following you. You may think you're getting away from God, but you're not. God's pursuing, God's seeking. And then there's a text in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. It said, it's talking about Jesus, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." Do you see God's plan? He said he had made one blood all the nations of men. We're all related. "For to dwell on all the face of the earth," that was God's plan, "and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, because he's seeking us." God is seeking. God's seeking you. Wherever you may be spiritually, wherever you may be physically, you know, God is seeking you. I think about old John on the Isle of Patmos. John was banned to the Isle of, it was a prison island. He was on the Isle of Patmos for preaching the word of God. God showed up. God found him. God gave him the revelation. We have it written down. I, John, saw. God spoke to him, gave him that. There's no place on earth. There's no place on earth where you can get. If you were on a deserted island in the middle of the ocean somewhere, and a person was there and they started seeking God and didn't know nothing, I believe God would show up, speak to those people's hearts. Yeah, man, I mean, God's got his ways to get to us. And so Hebrews 11:6, the last part of it says, tells us that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently. Diligent means steady, earnest, energetic effort. If we diligently seek him. Listen, God wants our hearts. And he already knows it. He already knows where your heart's at. But he's seeking you. He's seeking you. All he, and see, you can't haphazardly, if that's a good word, get saved. I just don't. You're not going to accidentally get saved. You're not going to just say, "I just don't know what happened. I was going down the road like falling off a log. I just fell over one day and I was saved." No, that's not the way it works. God is seeking you. Every person here. There's nobody's excluded here. Amen. God is seeking everybody. When I look back, when I got saved, you know what? That was my time. That was the time in my life. I was about 31, I think. I had known about God all the time. But, you know, just knowing about God and seeking him is a different, it's not the same, you know. I knew about God, but what happened, that was my time of my life that God says, "I'm really, really seeking you." He started letting me know just by the hand of the way it moved and the way somebody carried the gospel to me and they wouldn't quit. And I saw the need of being saved. That was, and I think this about a lot of people. There's other people I've told this same thing to. There's a time in your life. You're here now. You're here now. And the gospel, what the gospel does, the gospel is a call. That's a call to you, seeking you. The church, just the church itself, it should be. It's the call to you. Preachers, like them, love them, hate them, whatever. It's God's method of calling you. That's what we have today. The Word of God. This word of God preserved, even though the world has done everything it can to destroy this word. This word is still here. It's calling you. It's God seeking you. And he's saying the same thing that he said to Adam and Eve. Where are you? God knows. If you're lost, if you're not saved, God already knows that. He wants you to ask yourself this question. He knows if you're just backslidden. He knows that. He knows if you're truly seeking him. He knows that too. He just wants you to ask yourself this question. Where are you? Where are you spiritually? And be honest with the answer. Amen.